So, okay, so we're continuing back to Sota, the 11th Testament Aleph, that creates the Torah. So if you recall, so we have a halacha that you're not allowed to talk during landing. Okay? So there's two sources for the Esser. Okay, two sources. One of them was Pasuk, which said, Ubepischa Amdu Kal Ha'am. They're both by Ezra. They're saying when he opened the Torah, which they take to mean when they start reading, the whole nation was omed, which they say omed means shtika. They're all silent. Okay? So it means when you open the Torah, you have to be silent. And we learn that that means that's the din of kavod. So that's the concept. Because the Torah is open and it's being read and you're busy doing stuff. That's a bizayin of the Torah. So it's kavod haTorah that you don't talk while the laning is going on. Here it is, the tzi was involved in the kriya and you just start talking. So that's the design of the Torah. Okay? That was the first limud. And the second limud was, no, ve'azne kal ha'am el sefer ha'Torah. That the whole nation is listening to the sefer Torah. Ve'azne kal ha'am el sefer Torah. Right? Which we said meant, that's a different idea. That's not a din of bizayon that you're talking, but it's a din, is that it's an activity of the tzibur, and you're chayef to be involved. It's Talmud Torah of the tzibur, that's what laning is, it's Kriyas Torah, it's an activity of the tzibur's involvement in Kriyas Torah, in Talmud Torah, and you're mechuyev to be involved, to be shomayah, to be shosik, to be yaznei kalam, or sefer Torah. So if you talk, you're failing in your obligation to be a part of the tzibur. It's a group activity. What are you doing? Why are you not part of it? So that's not a matter of being silent. On the contrary, it's a matter of listening. And we said, arguably, an afkamina would be is if you just want to sit there and space out. Close your eyes. Put your, you know, whatever. Totally think about something else. Right? So if in terms of the first thing, amdo, you're silent. You're not, it's not a bizayon. You're not doing anything. But in terms of the ozne kalam sefer Torah, would imply the chayev to be involved, to be listening. And the Rambam brought it down. He said, you can't talk. Rather, you have to be sit there, silent, listening, paying, you know. So it seems that's part of what the Kriya Torah is. The tzibur is involved in the Kriya. So we're listening. So you can't start talking about something else. It's mevatel that obligation. Right? Okay, so those are the two different limudim. Now, another detail of it was that Mar says, once it starts laning, you're not allowed to talk, even midvar halacha. Even midvar halacha. So he said, what's the idea of Yindra Halacha? So in the first shot, that it's in Bizayon, could be is, look, you want to be doing your own learning. Yeah, but there's the learning of the Tzibor, and there's a Chashivas of Talmud Torah of the Rabbim, of Klal Yisrael. So for you to say, oh, I'm not interested, I'm just going to do my own personal learning, that's a Bizayon. That's what we said. Maybe we're going to adjust that, but that's what we said at first. It's a different level of Talmud Torah, and that's also under this, that's what he's teaching you. Even Bidvar Halacha, you may have thought not, you thought, look, at least you're learning. And so that was, and then according to the other pshat, that it meant that you're chayev to be involved in learning in the Talmud Torah of the Rav, and then it's pashat that you can't do the halacha. Because the chayev love Kriyas Torah. So it's Kriyas Torah. So you're learning about the halacha. What does that have to do with it? The point is that tzibur is involved in learning Parshas Vayikra. So what are you doing? You're doing your own thing? Well, if you say that being part of the tzibur is mechayev you to participate in their activity, so then you can't do something else. You're involved. You're bound up by the chova of the tzibur, right? Okay. So now we're doing is the Tosas. So Tosas is a problem. Okay. The problem is this Gemara is all very good, but there's a problem in Brachos which is in direct contradiction to this. Okay. And it's the Tosas Kimish Neftach. So basically, the problem is the Gemara in Brachos, Rav Sheshas. The Gemara tells us that Rav Sheshas used to turn his face away during laning. He'd turn his face and learn, and he'd said, they're learning their thing, and I'm learning my thing. Right? Which implies that as long as he's learning, it's not a problem. But our Gemara says it's also a field of Dvar Halacha. So it's an absolute contradiction. Right? Do you think this Gemara and the Gemara Brachos? The Gemara Brachos didn't have any problem with it. She tells the Rishon Lishos did. He said, they're learning their thing, I'm learning my thing. Sounds like it's fine. Right? Okay, so that's a problem. So that would seem to indicate from that is that as long as you're, look, it's not a bizayon, like argue, it's not a bizayon, as long as you're doing a lot of learning, or you're not bound up, they're learning, you're also learning, whatever, you don't say that's a violation of Yehovah's. Look, if you're just saying, well, I'm not interested in learning, but as long as you're learning, I don't care that you're learning something different, it would seem to indicate it doesn't make a difference. So the only problem is to get involved in something alien from Talmud Torah, but you don't have to do what they're doing, right? So it's a problem. So Tosus had three answers. Okay, and I think we worked out the first one, and I think we're left to the second and the third one. So his first answer was that he says, like, let's look at this. It says, Makshinan, Perakam and the Brachos, Dom Rav Sheshas, Avi Mahadar Ape, Vigaris, Amar Inhibititu, Vanan, Bididan. Right, so that's the Kasha. That's what he said. Umatsinu Lameimar, you could answer, the Mahadar Ape Shiny. If you turn your face, that's different. Right, that's okay. Rav Sheshas used to turn his face. Right? So the kasha was, how does that help? How does turning your face, if in a certain sense you could say it's worse? Turning your face. Right? And he said, also, it seems even turning his face only worked because he was learning. Because he said, I'm learning my thing, they're learning their thing. So it seems it's not just that automatically turning your face works. It seems like you have this combination of turning your face and the fact that he's learning Torah makes it okay. Right? And the second answer, let's read the other answers, and then we'll take that up. Because we learned last, and there's a machlokas. And the first answer is learning that if you turn your face, it's okay. The second and third answer, don't buy that. Okay, they hold the turning face isn't quite going to help you. So it says, Inami shiny rosheshes mishum dahave ma'arinayim. He was blind. Dahave pater mikriya. And he's pater from Kriya Satorah, since you're blind. Mishum dahave dvan shabachsavi atar shalom ma'alpeh. Because the halacha is the Rosh Hashanah, you can't say Baal Peh. So therefore he's blind, so anything he's going to do is Baal Peh. So he would unlearn the Rosh Hashanah. The Kiyun the Pater Mikriya, Afil B'Shar Shemil, Yachal Asuk Dera Halacha. So since he's Pater from reading, from laning, because he can't lane, because it's Baal Peh, so he doesn't even have to listen, and he can do his own thing. That's what he sent, I'm doing my thing. Kiyun Dera Halacha, Dvarim Dera Baal Peh, Kiyun Dera Bididu, Dera Rosh Hashanah. So he's saying is, what does it mean, oh, I'm doing my thing, they're doing their thing? It means for there, they have vision. So they're involved in Torah Shiruch Sav. But for me, I can't do Torah Shiruch Sav because I'm blind. And Torah Shiruch Sav is meant to be learned B'chsav, not Baal Peh. So I'm doing my thing. My thing is Torah Shiruch Baal Peh. So since it was mutter for him, because he's outside of the whole obligation of Kriyas Torah, but for a normal person, even if you turn your back, it wouldn't help you. It seems just on a plain level, the method of learning Torah Shiruch Sav is meant to be in the text. The text is a very important part of the thing. Every word, the exact word, every letter, that's the way it's written. It's the Hashem, verbatim. And you should, to start doing it without a text, it's almost like you risk distorting the exact verbiage. So it's meant to be learned, it's not meant to be learned, Baal Peh. But in Torah Baal Peh, it's not the verbiage, which is really important. It's the ideas. There's no exact word. You see how quick the change is. Mishnah, Halachik, Tani, Melchasir, Mechzorah, whatever. There is no exact words. Even the Mishnah is written down. It's just this code of had to be written down because it was necessary. But essentially, the transmission and the learning of Torah Baal Peh is in the mind, is in the ideas. It's not meant to be put down into a precise, exact, specific form. That's why you're writing it down, in a certain sense, limits it. There's ideas, the ideational content of it, which is past Ishmi Kish. So if you're blind, that's saying is don't learn Torah Shiruch Sav, because you're not going to be able to do it properly. You don't have the exact text. You need to do it. And in general, you're not supposed, I mean, we do it, but in general, you're not supposed to learn Torah Shiruch Sav, Baal Peh. You're going to distort it. And every letter counts. But Torah Shiruch Baal Peh, it doesn't matter. It's not as lav dafka. On the contrary, that writing it down limits it. So him, for him, so he's saying it's not my department. They're laning, but it's not my department, laning. Because laning is Torah Shiruch Sav, and it's not for me. I can't partake of that. I'm blind. So, we blind people do our learning, they do their thing. So the Otos is saying, that's why it was mutter for him. But for a regular guy, you can't do that. You're chayiv, you're part of the tzibor, it's Torah Shiruch Sav. What are you doing? You're just turning your back on them and ignoring them? You're chayiv in Tam Torah, and Tam Torah tzibor, and Kriya Torah, Torah Shiruch Sav. You want to learn Torah Shiruch Sav? Learn that later. This is the time for that, right? So I'm saying implicitly, this answer rejects the first answer. Because the first answer wasn't bringing up the blind. He's just saying, because he turned his back. So the first answer held, turning your back itself saves you. Second answer apparently doesn't buy that, right? And the third answer also doesn't buy that. So what's the third answer? And we're going to have to analyze these more. I just want to get the shot. It says, Mihu mistabra kipirish ben chanana. The pirish hasam dafka rav sheshes ukiyotzba torah sem nasa. Right? That was different, because Rav Sheshes is Torah Sem Nasa. And apparently, if you're Torah Sem Nasa, you're putter in various things, one of which, I guess, is being Talmud Kriyas Torah. Laning, you don't have to listen to Laning because you're doing something else. You're doing your own thing. You're on your own schedule. Right? Aval Idna, but for now, nowadays, we don't have these guys. Karavas Yolan, Amravakim, Shinoch Zevatori, you're not allowed to talk. Right? So again, the third answer is like the second one in regard to saying that Rosh Hashanah was a unique exception. Whereas the second answer saying he's unique because he's blind, the third answer saying he's unique just Torah Sonasa.
What's
the
question I do?
What? Either way, the second and third answer both say turning your back doesn't help. It's only because they're exceptional guy. Rosh Hashanah was exceptional for some reason. Right? Whereas the first answer held turning your back is critical. That helps for everybody. Right, so that's what we set up machlokas between the first and the second and third, is does turning your back help? But just to finish up, so according to the second and third, why did he turn his back? Once you tell me Rosh Hashanah is different, and he is blind, or he's Torah Sonasa, why did the Gemara says he turns his back? So why did he turn his back? According to the first answer, it's good why he turned his back, that's the whole point. According to the second and third answer, you have to explain that. So then the Gemara Tosa says, but, behind the Havei Hadar, nah, there are It's not appropriate, it's not proper, Orcha de Milsa to be involved in Dvar Halacha on his own together with the Tzibur while they're doing Shmias Torah. So it wasn't appropriate, we have to understand what that means exactly, but it's almost inappropriate. It's true you're doing your own thing. It's true you're blind. It's true you're awesome also. But don't, in their face, say, well, I'm not interested. At least turn your back and set yourself apart a little bit. Right? But it's not that's what Mati did. Essentially, according to the second answer, what Mati did is because he's blind or because he's awesome also. It's just doing what's proper. Whatever that means. Right? So there's a lot here. Right? Yeah, so again, let's go over what we said. So what we did do is we analyzed the first answer and compared it to the second and third answer. Okay? So what did we say? We said, what did it do to turn your back? Right? According to that answer. Right? And we said, what's the combination of turning your back and the fact that he's doing Torah? Right? Because it sounds like he turned his back and he said, I'm doing my thing, they're doing their thing. Right? So we said, is that, look, there's two Isurim. There's two problems, right? One problem is a Bizayon. So he said, a Bizayon he held, it's not a Bizayon if you're learning. Okay, he held it's not a Bizayon if you're learning. If you're talking about the Yankees or whatever, that's a Bizayon. It doesn't matter. Turn your back, not turn your back, it's a Bizayon. But this, since he's learning, so it's not a Bizayon. Right? It's true it's not a Bizayon, but still the Tzibur is involved in Hamadora, of Chris Dora, and you're just doing something else. So he said that turning his back basically separates himself off. Now, this is true. If he's sitting in the Tzibor, so he's basically in their makom, he's with them. So being that he's with them, he's obligated to be involved in their kriya. But if he separates himself from them and says, look, I'm not doing laning now, maybe I'll lane later or whatever. So as long as the turning his back basically makes him not bound up by the obligation of the Tzibur. But even if he's not bound up by the obligation of the Tzibur, if he would stop talking about other stuff, then that would just be a Bizayon. So saying he's not a Bizayon because he's involved in learning. And he's not bound up by the Tzibur because he's turning his back. And turning his back basically is an expression of the fact that I'm not part of their activity. But if you're sitting with them, you are part of their activity. Now what, you're with them and you're part of the activity and now you're doing something else, then it's like you're not acting appropriately within the context of the tzibur of which you're a part. So that's why turning his back separates him out. I think we said that the other shittas hold, look, you are part of them because you're in the same makom. Well, Balman is you're in the room. Oh, right, I remember what we said. In other words, there's no halacha. Like, what is the tzibur's obligation? To hear the Torah. Right? One person lanes and everyone else hears. So you turn your back. Okay. So is there a halacha? You're not allowed to turn your back when you're laning? You can still hear it just because you turn your back. So it's like, on the one hand, you're doing an action which is trying to show that you're separate from them. On the other hand, it's more like a gesture. Because insofar as the activity of laning, there's no reason why turning your back makes you any less capable of being involved in activity either. Right? So it's like if you walk out of the room and you can't hear, so tonight, it'll be one thing. But all you're just doing is turning your back. So it's like there's no posture or position or angle of leaning. So the first position says, yeah, but true. But still, it's like turning your back as a gesture of saying is, I'm not participating. I'm not part of them. But the other sheet does hold that, yeah, but you are obligated in hearing the Torah. Because you're a regular Yisrael. Except Sheshus isn't, because he's blind or Torah. That's a normal person. You're obligated. And you're sitting in the room with them, and you're hearing them, so you turn your back, who cares? Because you can't be, that's the Balachokas, is does a gesture of your, you know, your desire to not participate suffice to separate you from the activity of the tzibur? Or do you say, since it's just a gesture, but bottom line is in terms of the activity itself, you're equally capable of being involved, you become wrapped up in their obligation, right? Definitely could walk out, you don't have to be there, but insofar as you're there, does turning your back serve to set you apart? So he said, look, Fura, if you're a potter, then you could say, look, you're not bound up in their activity, just because you happen to be there, but you don't have any shaitas to it, right? You're not altogether involved in the whole class of people who do this thing. But insofar as you are, and you're there, and you're hearing it, so then it doesn't work to turn your back. You'd have to actually leave if you don't want to be bound up in their obligation. So far as you're there, the being there and participating in their activity through Shemiya is going to make you part of it. Right? That's what the second and third sheet hold. And therefore they are forced to come up with saying Rosh Hashanah is different. But everyone else, if you're there, then Ozne Kalam will say for a Torah, then you have to be involved. Right.
Okay.
So let's take this second and third answer one at a time. Okay, so the second answer is saying what? He was blind. Okay? Okay, now it's not so simple. Because it's saying is like he's blind, so therefore he can't read. Because Tzar Shul Saf can't lane. He can't lane with the Baal Peh to lane from the Torah. Okay. But now you have a little bit of a problem, though, because most of the tzibur isn't reading. Most of the tzibur is just listening. So let him just listen. Why is he any different than me if I'm not laning? Right? So that's what Tosfos knows about that problem. He addresses it subtly. The kivan, the potter, mikriya, hafilu b'shashmiya hayach halasak b'dvar halacha. Right? But how does that follow? Right? I mean, they're totally different. He's not. I understand if everyone had to read the Torah, if everyone had a lane, then fine. But not everyone has to lane. Everyone has to listen. So why should he be mufka from the whole institution of Kriyas Torah? Because he can't read it? Where after all, everyone else is just hearing it?
I mean, I was thinking, just to combine these different ideas, that the question is, what is the chiyuv? Is the chiyuv Kriyas Torah? Everyone's chayiv to read. Okay? Now, not everyone's reading. You do Shmekona, so you have one representative. We all have a chova. So what we do is, it's like shofar. We all have maybe not shofar. It's a Megillah. We're all obligated in reading the Megillah. But we're not all read it. We just have one guy who represents us all. So here too, you have an obligation of reading the Torah, but we have one representative. It's accomplished. How does the Tzibor fulfill the obligation to read? You have one representative and everyone else, so Shmekona. So if that's the case, if you're not capable of reading, you can't say Rosh Hashanah is chayav to read because he's blind. And it's Don Shel Chayav Yitor Shel Mapeh. So therefore, you can't obligate him to read. So therefore, he's potter. He could hear. Yeah, but hearing is just fulfilling your obligation of Shmei Kona, your Chayav Kriya. So you can't say he's obligated because he could hear, because hearing is merely a vehicle of fulfilling your mitzvah's Kriya. And he can't have a mitzvah's Kriya, says the second answer. But the other way to learn is that the chova is a chova of shmiya. The tzibor is chayiv to go every 3 days to hear the kriyas, to hear the Torah. Hear kriyas the Torah. Now someone has to read it, but the mitzvah is like the Rambam says is shleichu shloshe yamim b'lo shmiyas haTorah. The kaiyish won't go 3 days without hearing the Torah. So basically, the chayiv is that everyone in the tzibor has to be involved in shmiyas haTorah. So it's not an obligation of kriya. Now, yes, someone's going to have to read it, because you can't have a shmiya without a reading. But the mitzvah is really a mitzvah of shmiya. So now, just because Rav Sheshes can't read it, doesn't mean he can't do shmiya. Right? So you can read it. Okay, fine. Someone else read it. There's no reason why he has to be able to read it. I'm saying is it's lav dafka. It doesn't matter. I'm not taking up the issue about whether it's chov in the yachid, chov in the tzibur. It's a different question. I'm saying that's a side question. Question here is the question is, what is the chova? Is the chova kriya or is the chova shmiya? If the chova is kriya, then if you're not shayach to kriya, then you're not shayach to the chova. If the chova is shmiya, then the fact that you can't read it is irrelevant. It has nothing to do with reading it. You don't have to be able to shayach to be reading it. You just have to be shayach to hearing it. So if you were deaf, then you could say whatever, but Rosh Hashanah wasn't deaf, he was blind. So blind, I'm saying it's a chiddush to say that you're outside of laning because you can't read. So the plain shot of laning is that we're just hearing it. Everyone on the tzibur, you have to hear the Torah, and that was a takana. Everyone should be involved in Talmud Torah minimally. You should at least hear the Torah 3 times a week. Now, yeah, someone's going to read it so that everyone can hear it, but the chova is really hearing it. Now, why shouldn't Rosh Hashanah be able to hear it? It's because Torah Shavuot Chsav, he could hear Torah Shavuot Chsav. He can't read Torah Shavuot Chsav himself, but he could hear Torah Shavuot Chsav. But if you say that the chova is a chova of kriya, well then, it makes sense that he can't do kriya because he's blind. So now he can't do shmiya, because shmiya is just a way to fulfill the obligation of kriya. Yeah, so the Rosh asks, he says, he's really talking about counting people for a minyan. He's saying a katan, in theory, could count as part of, maybe you could add him to a 10th person, or for a zimun. But he says he can't be motzi other people, because an ein mechuyav davar can't be motzi other people. So he says, but a katan could be involved in, could be one of the aliyahs of Kriyas Torah. So how could it be? He's not mechuyav davar. How could it be motzi? So he says, no, mishum the sefer Torah l'shmiya kai. The sefer Torah is only for shmiya. Right? So I think he's saying is that it's not working through motzi. So if it was then that the katan is that the bal korei is being motzi mishamek ona, so then the katan can't do it because they call shayim mechuyav davar and motzi and dechavasam. But that's not what's going on here. It's that the tzibur is chayiv to hear. So katan's reading and his reading is Talmud Torah. He's reading the Torah and I'm hearing the Torah. So he's not being motzi me. He's simply enabling me to hear it. But the obligation is really an obligation of Shmiya. Right? So since an obligation of Shmiya, there's no reason why I can't hear it from a katan. But if you were to learn that it's a din of being motzi, that the katan that's a chova of kriya, and how I am not reading, oh, he's being motzi me. So if that's the case, then it makes sense that I'm not going to be able to hear it from a katan. So then they say, oh, the reason why a katan works is because it's talking about the later aliyahs, just the mashlim. The first three are the primary chiyuv, and the later ones are like a secondary chiyuv. And I mean, that, you have to get into the sugya there, how that works exactly. But that's, I'm saying, the Rosh says just sidesteps the whole problem, because he says that it's not really a chiyuv of kriya, it's chiyuv of shmiya. So I'm trying to say that that's the same thing here. Is that if you say that it's a din of shmiya, then Rosh Hashas isn't going to be exempt, because who cares that he can't read? But if you're going to say it's a chiyuv of kriya, so then it makes sense that this is homosumas going to be pata. I'm saying that's the chiddush of the second answer, is that it's that the whole din of laning is essentially a chiyuv of kriya. Yeah, so the Ran is the one who says it. That's on Yud Gimel and Aleph and Daf and Ref and Megillah, where he says lo shiu kolam katanim delikim the labnei chiyuvanin who lo mafki legamri. So he can't be motzia because they're not bnei chiyuvanin. So he has to work out that it's only the certain aliyahs or whatever mashlim. But that's the Ran in Megillah. He deals with it. But that's what he said. The Rosh I read is in Brachos, in the Parag Zion, the Simen Chaf, where he says he's not bothered by the problem altogether, because he says that it's just the din of Shmiya. And the Rambam, he doesn't have this proviso. He just says the Katan is Allah. And the Rambam seemingly says it's the din of, you shouldn't go 3 days without Shmiya.
That's fine?
Doesn't matter where? Yeah, he says any of the way of the Rambam holds. So I'm saying is that's a question here, and that's what he's got. So there's a related point, okay? This is a little bit of a side point, but related. So you know that you make one bracha, the ikar the dina, is that you make one bracha at the beginning of laning, the first ola, and he makes a bracha beforehand, and then the last ola makes a bracha afterwards. You know that? This is the original way it was set up. The first ola would make the Shabbach Rabbanu, the last ola would make a Shana Son Lanu, and that would be it. Okay? And it's all one big continuous thing. Right, that's what Rav Tirva says. This is in Megillah Chaf Aleph and Beis.
appears to kula kriya chada mitzvah hi shenas zay de rabim. So all of Kriyas Torah is one mitzvah that's done by the rabim. Ubechada bracha sagi lekulu, so you can have one bracha at the beginning, one bracha at the end, and that's the way Yudlani used to be. Okay. V'chein kol kiyotze b'zak on tkiya shal Rosh Hashanah. Tkiya of Rosh Hashanah. You have one bracha. It goes on all of them. Even though they're spread out throughout the day or whatever, or you could have maybe different people blowing. It doesn't matter. It's all one series of a shofar. Okay. Now the thing is like this, is that why did they set up, this is going to sound strange, but why did they set up that you have a separate bracha for Kriyas Torah? Each ola makes a bracha before and after. So you're afraid, let's say a guy leaves early. The guy leaves early, he's going to think, in the middle of the laning, let's say, he's going to leave, let's say, after three aliyahs. But again, imagine you only made one bracha, begin one bracha then. If a guy leaves early, he's going to be presumptuous and say, oh, apparently there's only a bracha before laning and not after. The reason why he thinks that is because he left in the middle, but whatever. So in order to prevent that, you basically have it that each and every ola makes a bracha at the end. So no one's going to come to think that you only make a bracha before laning and not after. And one second. And likewise, if a guy comes late, if he comes late and you only have one bracha at the beginning, one bracha at the end, he's going to miss the bracha at the beginning. He's going to say, oh, you don't make brachas before laning. So therefore, in order to avoid those problems, they set up that you say a bracha before each and every aliyah. So that's stam and difficult. It's difficult for two reasons. One is, what's the problem? Big deal. So he thinks that. Right? Is that the end of the world if he thinks that? I mean, oh yeah, big deal. It's wrong, but I mean, a lot of mistakes, the guy, you know. And say, well, it's like presumptuous. Well, the guy thinks that, and he comes late, says, oh, they don't make brachas after laning? No, they do. You just left early. Why? Well, who gives you the right to start drawing a ridiculous conclusion? So, stam, difficult to come out. Okay? But that's not what I want to take up right now. The Ritva is saying, so why don't you say the same thing by Tekiah Shofar? That you should have to make a bracha before each time you blow Shofar. Before each set of tkiyas, because if a guy comes in late, he's going to think that you only have to make you don't have to make any bracha before tkiyas shofar, right? So when you set up, in other words, if you're going to be worried basically about guys, you know, when you have a whole seder of tkiyas, you're worried about a guy coming in late and now drawing a false conclusion, then why don't you say the same thing? You should make additional brachas there. So the verse is like this. He says. Well, I'll read what the Ravah says. He's saying a similar thing. He says like this. He says, by shofar, we're not worried about people coming in late and drawing a conclusion that you don't make brachas before tkiyas shofar, right? We're worried about that by laning, and therefore we set up brachas before each and every aliyah. Why are we worried about that by blowing shofar? The hasam lo shayach. The al kol echad ve'echad mehem chiv l'shmava kulam. Me'rosh ve'ad self. Because by shofar, every one of them is chayev to hear each and every tkiyah from beginning to end. So everyone's going to hear the whole thing. No one's going to come in late. And it's true. Who comes in late? It's a blowing shofar. You're chayev to hear the whole thing. So everyone's going to make sure to get there on time because each and every individual is chayev to hear the whole thing. Look at the freshest beduchte. Right? So the implication is, but by laning, it's not true that each and every individual is chayev to hear the whole thing. Right? So I think this is where they say, I deduce from here, that there's no chiyuv on each individual to hear the whole laning. It's a chiyuv on the tzibor, but it's not a chova on each and every individual. Because that's what he says. It's al kol yachid biyachid. That's what he says here. He says, kivan de al. Sorry, I lost my place. But yeah. Right, but by laning, it sounds like he's holding. There's no chiyuv on each and every individual to hear the whole thing, and that's why we're worried about a guy leaving earlier, coming in late, because since any individual isn't really chayav to hear the whole laning, just a din that the tzibor has to be involved in laning. So an individual is not really sinning by leaving early or coming in late. Oh well, now he's going to come to the wrong conclusion. Now, we still don't know who cares that he comes to the wrong conclusion or whatever, but he's using that to explain, right? So you see, that's what I think the source of saying that it's really chova on the tzibor. What I'm saying is, whether you say it's a chova on the tzibor, it's for each individual, you still could ask the question, is it a chova as kriya, or is it a chova as shmiya?
what's the tzibur have to do? Does the tzibur, now you're a unit of the tzibur. Fine. I, an individual who's sitting at home, that's one question. Me at home, am I obligated to do it? Am I chayiv in leining, or is the tzibur chayiv in leining? But whatever. Now the tzibur is here. Now what is the tzibur? We're here. What do we have to do? Do we have to all lane? And the way we do it is shmei kohana? Or do we have to hear? Right? So I'm saying that's a different question. Two questions. One is, what is the obligation? Another question, who it devolves upon? Right? So the next thing we have to take up, and maybe this next time, is the third answer, the Torah Sonasa answer. Right? What's that whole line of reasoning? Right? And it's reset. As Johnny pointed out, it's funny to say he's potter from leaning, because leaning is Kriyas Torah. It's Torah. So potter from tefillah is one thing, potter from leaning. But leaning is Torah. And what is Torah Sonasa? He's busy learning, so he can't learn. It is learning. So that seems to be the chiddush of the third answer. Right? And then we'll go forward. There's another answer brought down, I think, in Tosos and Brachos. And we still didn't explain the Orcha of the Mil. So the end of our Tosos, why he has to turn his face. There's still a bunch of things. It's a packed Tosos. It's very short, but a lot of things going on here.